Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father who dwells in the highest heaven, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, the all-merciful, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts for allowing us to see another day on this side of eternity. Father, we know there is no mountain too high that we cannot climb with you on our side. There is no anger or pain or disappointment that we cannot overcome as your children. You are the one that parted the Red Sea for the children of Israel to cross on the dry ground. You are the one that brought down the walls of Jericho without the weapons being fired. You are the one that fed the children of Israel with manna from heaven. You are the one that reconciled us back today to the blood of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. Day to day, O God, we do struggle with anger, with anxiety, and fear. We pray, Father, to let our faith grow, to help us to grow closer to thee in word and in deed. We have come together this day to study your word. We pray, O God, to open our hearts and minds to be receptive to your words. Help us to be kind to one another. Help us to live each day as we want us to live. Help us to be a light and in a world that is full of darkness, anger, hatred, and self-indulgence. We cannot do anything to overcome distance in our lives, O God, without your help. We believe you are God that answered all prayers. Let our will be aligned to your will. We thank you for always answering our prayers for everything that you have done and the things that which you continue to do. We thank you, Father, for this time that we can spend with thee, that we can pray to thee, that we can sing praises to your holy and divine name. Above all, O God, help us to put you first in everything that we do. For this is our prayer through the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The past 2 weeks, we've been learning about how to deny self. And the first lesson, we talked about what is self-denial, and we had a definition of what it means, of what self-denial is all about. And last week, we discussed about God demands self-denial. I cannot overemphasize the importance of this subject. You cannot be all that God wants you to be if you do not understand the importance of this subject. From the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see stories upon stories of what self-denial is all about, the importance of self-denial. If you believe in God, you must believe he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. I don't know, we live in a society today whereby God is second nature. There are people who espouse the idea that God does not exist. And there are also those who believe that God exists, but they want to go halfway. They don't want to go full throttle to what God wants us to do. I do believe God exists because of the things that we see and the things that we do not see. The pew that you are sitting on was designed by somebody. The shirt, your dress that you put on was designed by somebody. My eyeglasses was designed by somebody. So the world that we live in, the birds, the fish, the animals, God designed it. And there's no way around it. And he demands that we follow his words. You can run, you can hide, but a day will come whereby you must answer to that God. I do not know when I'll be leaving this world, neither do you. But the most important thing is that we do what God wants us to do. Paul mentioned, he said, whether I live or whether I die, it's much more profitable for me to be with Christ than to be on this side of eternity. So God demands us to deny ourselves. And what that means is that we must put God ahead of anything else in this life. You want to live a faithful life, you want to be all that God wants you to be, God must be the center of your attention. The third week of this lesson, if you have the book, we are going to try to follow the book, but I also have some other materials that I'm going to be using in conjunction with the book. Lesson 3 tells us putting God's will first. Let me ask you, what does it mean to put God's will first? What does it mean to you to put God's will first? First of all, do you have a will? Everyone has a will. What does it mean to you to put God's will first? And what does denying self means to you? Are there going to be times whereby your will does not align with God's will? And the question is this, how do we know when our will does not align with God's will?
Scripture.
So putting God's will first means there are times that I'm going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to make me feel uncomfortable. It's going to go against the very things that I've learned as a child that I've been taught. If your will is ahead of God's will, there is going to be problems or trouble. If you want to follow along with the book, it tells us in the previous lessons, we saw that God demands self-denial. Jesus said that one must deny himself to be his follower. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Did Jesus Christ deny himself to come to this world? And how did he do that?
By coming.
And who was he before he came to this world?
Deity.
He was deity. And when we say deity, what do we mean by deity?
God.
That is God. And there are three qualifications to be fulfilled before you can be referred to as deity. The ability to be in all places at one time. The ability to have all knowledge. and the ability to have all power. God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit are those three entities that have that ability to be called deity. Jesus said that one must deny himself to be his follower. Mark chapter 8 verse 34. How can we deny ourselves to be a follower of Jesus Christ? I want you to give me an example. How can we deny ourselves to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And do we, yes, sir?
I didn't sleep well last night.
Okay.
I didn't really want to get out of bed this morning.
Yes.
The bed was awful comfortable even though I didn't sleep well.
But you still came here.
But I had a purpose.
And the purpose was what?
To come here.
To come here.
And to worship God in fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Yeah, that's just a simple example. It's similar to marriage. You know, this year I've been married 43 years.
Congratulations.
And there's been a time or two where I've had to deny what I wanted to do for the sake of what my wife wanted to do. I've made sacrifices for the sake of my wife, for the sake of my family. You know, things that I would have wanted to do, but I denied that for the sake of my marriage, for the sake of my family. Similarly, we deny things that we might want to do for our service to God.
Well said. Yes, sir.
I think another way to deny self, so there's the thing where we're giving up something, but there's also a trust. So to deny myself, I have to learn to trust in God's will and not my own will in getting things done. So we can become our own heroes and think I can do this and forget that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So I think another way to deny self is to actually just trust in God's plan for us instead of trying to continually come up with our own plan for ourselves.
That is well said. But let us look at Paul. Because some of the things you mentioned is, they are good ideas. But these are things that we should do as human beings. But when I say deny self, Paul said he was under the threat of being killed on a daily basis. In storms, severe weather, severe storms, being abused by his very own people who call themselves brothers in the Lord. That is what I'm talking about. Of course we have to make sacrifices for our family. It's a good thing. It's a good thing in the eyes of God. But when God demands denial of self, it means going the extra mile to do what God wants us to really do. We talked about Abraham in the Old Testament, how he allowed his brother to choose first. We talked about Stephen as he was being stoned to death. Instead of him being angry, what did he say? Forgive, for they know what? And how did he learn that? Because Jesus Christ said the same very thing. Of course, we deny ourselves a lot of things to maintain peace. But what I'm getting at is when the robber meets the road, when the brother says something very painful to you, how do you react? When things does not go your way, how do you react? Yes, ma'am.
Like you said, when the rubber hits the road, that's what it is. It's pride. You think you know better. and you just want your own will. But it takes humility to say, okay, over here we have the creator of the universe and three stars into existence, and over here we have somebody who can't remember where they parked their car. You know, and to say, I want my will is just when you realize who God is and what he's done for us, it's really hard to not be humble.
I think when I look at it, we have not really been converted. There is what I call conviction. When you have been converted, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to put your will ahead of God's will. I'll get to you in a minute. I think he said in preaching to Felix, if you're following with the book, Paul taught about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Acts of Apostles 24, verse 25. What does self-control have to do with becoming a Christian? The answer is everything. He said, what does self-control has to do with becoming a Christian? The answer is everything. If you are driving a car on the highway and you take your hands off the steering wheel, what is going to happen? You are going to what?
Looks like a crash.
You are going to have a wreck. There are two types of wreck. We have physical wreck and spiritual wreck. And some of us don't even know that we are engaged in a spiritual wreck already in our lives, because we fail to realize what God's will is for our lives. And there are so many times I've done things that I've not asked God or prayed first to let God's will be done in my life. God's will is not going to be done in your life if you are not a prayerful person. If you do not ask God for anything before you embark on it. Corey, do you have a comment? Of course. Ignorance is not an excuse. Yes.
Going along just behind Corey, is there ignorance of God's will? Absolutely is. But that's on you. God has shown it to us. He has given us his will. And it's pretty clear if you study it. Now, if you choose not to study it, you choose not to be engaged with it, then that's a problem. But God hasn't hidden his will from us.
God's will is not hidden to anyone. And the Bible makes it clear he does not want anyone to perish. But people are going to perish because they fail to adhere to God's will. He said there's no other way around it. He said one will not and cannot become a child of God until he suppresses his own will and gives preference to the will of God. Let me repeat that again. He said, one will not and cannot become a child of God until he suppresses his own will and gives preference to the will of God. How do you and how can you suppress your own will? Do you have a desire sometimes that does not align with God's will? Before you say anything, do you think about what the consequences are going to be before you say it? He said man has his own way. Man has his own idea of how he ought to live and conduct his life. What he thinks seems right to him, Proverbs 14 verse 12, 16 verse 25, however, it differs greatly from the thinking of God. His ways are higher and greater than man's. Isaiah chapter 55, 9 to 10, follows his own plan, man is led to destruction. Are people following their own plans today when it comes to worship? Are people following their plans today when it comes to baptism? Are people following their plans today when it comes to the plan of salvation? This subject can go a lot of ways. Putting God's will first means doing everything according to God's divine revelation. It's very, very simple, but very, very difficult for people to adhere to. People simply want to do whatever they want to do. It does not matter. But you must also realize this. No one can escape God. The Bible tells us one day every knee is going to bow. It tells us, it said, examples can be found throughout the Bible of those who had their own ideas. When Naaman heard the instructions from the man of God to help dip 7 times in Jordan, he revealed his disappointment saying, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. You know, God's will is very, very simple. It's not complicated. But man wants to make it complicated. People want to buy into the wrong thing. God has always had a plan, if you look at it from the Old Testament up to now. He called out Abraham to be the father of nations. He had to have a nation to introduce his son into the world, which is Jesus Christ. When that was accomplished, when Jesus Christ was put to death on the cross of Calvary, the Bible tells us no nation here on the earth is favored in the eyes of God. It does not matter who you are. It has nothing to do with your height. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. It has nothing to do with anything. All God is interested in is, one, you obey his words. But the world wants to keep us divided so that we can see what God wants us to do. God wants us to be baptized in the water grave of baptism. Man said, no. Just put your hands on the television and call upon the name of God and you will be saved. Yes, sir.
In our country today, there are people who want to, they think the Constitution is so old, it was written for people back then, and they want to update, in quotes, the Constitution to make it say what they want it to say. Same thing with the Scripture. People look at the Bible and say, this was back in AD and BC and all those kind of things. It doesn't pertain to me now. Let's rewrite it. Let's reevaluate it. That's the problem we have, I think, in religion today.
Absolutely. And what does the Bible tell us? God is the same who? Yesterday. And what? And what? Forever. It does not necessarily mean that because God allowed animal sacrifice in the Old Testament, that we need to do the same thing today. God created man with knowledge and wisdom. You have no excuse. You can adhere to it, or you can simply set it aside. But one day you are going to answer to that God. So putting God's will first It's vital in everything that we do in this life. You can't run away from it.
And all this garbage that you hear in the world, we must live by what God is asking us to do individually. If I'm a slave to him, people like to use the term servant, I go down that road. But it doesn't change the fact that he owns me. That's scripture. And I must behave according to his will. I think we're afraid to use terms like suffering. Look at what Jesus Christ did for us. That's the example that he set for us. And maybe with me, if this became a reality as I grew older, I'm learning daily how, whatever it costs, I must walk the walk.
Yes, sir.
So, this morning, the brother over there made the comment that he didn't feel well this morning. This morning, I didn't feel well. My wife woke me up this morning. She says, "Joe, it's late. We're not going to be able to go to church." And I said, I said, "Oh, yes, we are." I rolled out of the bed. I took shortcuts. I was speeding a bit. But my desire was to fellowship with the brothers this morning.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
So to me, that's giving up, you know, away with this nonsense that I got to be a certain way. If I'm going to be obedient to God's will, I got to give up all these self-desires.
You're right. You make a good comment. And I think what the brother was alluding to when it comes to the Constitution is the fact that people think the Constitution was written for the people that wrote it. And so they are attempting to change it to whatever fits their mode. I think he made a comparison to the Bible, what the Bible has stated when it comes to the plan of salvation, that people think is just too old. And so it was designed for the people then. I think that was the comment he made. You made a good comment about the fact that we are slaves, you know, to Christ. Absolutely. During the slave trade, you all are quite familiar with that in the United States. In Nigeria, you have to want to be a slave before somebody can take you to be a slave. That notwithstanding, they have raiding parties that will go to other tribes and capture them and enslave them. And so during the slave trade, when they brought the slave to the United States, the slave does not have any right. You do what the master tells you to do. And you are at the mercy of the master. And I think if we have that kind of concept, that when we become a child of God, when we become a Christian, that we do not have any right. All our rights, all our wills, it should be subject to who? To Jesus Christ. And so when we apply that very concept that Jesus Christ owns us, and how the Bible even tells us that we are purchased with what? With a price. And what is that price? And what is the price that we were purchased with? The blood of Christ. So the question is this, did you die for anyone? Have you purchased anyone with your blood? So if you haven't, then you don't have any right. Your right must be in line with what Jesus Christ wants us to do. And so sometimes there's going to be a conflict. It's going to be very, very difficult, because I mentioned last week, what do we say in most cases? What does your parent teach you to do? Look out for who? You look out for yourself, correct? Always watch out for yourself. Always put your interests ahead of others. Even in the United States, what do you hear from our leaders? What is in the best interest of who? The United States. All countries has that very concept. But if we want to really be who God wants us to be, our interest must be subject to what Christ wants us to do. And there are so many instances that you can apply that to whatever you do in life, in your relationship, at work. He also made a good comment that he didn't feel like coming this morning. He was tired. But let me say this to you. At home, when you are tired, you feel sick, do you go to work? Do you go to work? And why do you go to work? Because if you call out one time, guess what is going to happen? You get a warning, right? And you call out the second time, guess what is going to happen? You get a second warning. And the third time, there's not going to be what? It's not going to be a warning. You're going to be terminated. Do we get warnings from Christ all the time? But we've never been terminated. Because God is full of mercy and kindness. And that same character, that same behavior God wants us to have when we're dealing with other people. You have to develop the spirit of what? Of forgiveness. You have to also understand that people are going to make mistakes. There's no way around it. People are going to make you upset. People are going to say things to you that you don't like. People are going to make your life miserable. But God wants us to develop the spirit of meekness, the spirit of kindness. When people offend you, when they say things to you that are hurtful, guess what God wants you to do? What does God want you to do? When you find yourself in a very difficult situation that is going to be hurtful, is going to be painful for you, God wants you to forgive. And how many times did God want us to forgive others when they offend us? Say that again. Have you had an opportunity this week whereby it has been difficult for you? Of course I have. And you have too. So when we talk about putting God's word first, there's no other way around it. As our time, we have less than 10 minutes. He said, the proverb writer warned, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. That is he said, acknowledge who? Who are we to acknowledge? God? And what did God promise to do? He will make your path straight. Does that mean you're not going to have hills and mountains sometimes? Does that mean you're not going to get sick? Does that mean your marriage is going to be this all-powerful, all-sweet and nice, and your spouse is going to be nice to you? No. Does that mean because once you become a Christian, you're not going to get robbed? Does that mean once you become a Christian, you know, somebody's not going to do some terrible things to you? Somebody's not going to hurt your children? No. In fact, those things build character. Those things makes us God who God wants us to be. God is constantly, daily molding us in his own image. And guess what we want to do? We just keep resisting. We just keep resisting. We keep resisting. We don't want to do what God wants us to do. We wonder sometimes why our life is so difficult. Why we live miserably. Why we are always angry. Why, when I see a child of God always just frowning, what are you frowning about? What are you angry about?
We want to have our way, that's why.
Absolutely, we want to have our way. Another thing is this, we have not really allowed the word of God to sink deep and deep into our hearts. On one end, we think we've been converted, but we have not really been converted. We still, I think the Bible make a reference to the time you should be teachers, we are now what?
Needing to be taught.
The time we should be eating strong meat, the Bible tells us we are still drinking what? Milk. Brothers and sisters, it takes effort. It takes dedication. It takes suffering sometimes. It takes pain sometimes to be who God wants you to be. But I also want you to also realize this. We also have an adversary who wants us to fail every step of the way. Who wants us to give up on God. Who wants us to renounce our faith. Who wants us to leave and never have anything to do with God. But let me say this. God does not lack anything. But he created you for a reason. And that reason is to worship God. We have less than 5 minutes. I'm going to try to complete this. Yes, can you make your comment quick?
Yes. Yeah. One good example of Will is when you see Paul, the thorn in the flesh. 3 times I prayed. He could have healed himself, but he prayed that the Lord take it away. He said you needed it. And his attitude doesn't say, well, I didn't get what I wanted. It turns to, when I am weak, then I am strong. Because the Lord said, my strength is strong.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The Bible tells us, he said, the mind of God has been revealed by the Spirit to the apostles and prophets. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 13. Ephesians chapter 3, 3 to 5. We can now read and understand what God's will is. Ephesians chapter 3, 3 to 5. Ephesians 5, verse 17. John 8, 32. The righteousness of God, God's plan for righteousness is revealed in the gospel. Romans 1, 16 to 17. It is his grace that teaches us how to live. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 12. We must accept God's will and put it first. If we are going to serve God, we must suppress our own will and submit to his. Only those who do the will of the Father enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Those in the church are those who are subject unto Christ in everything. So the church that we are members of, that we've been added to, who owns it? Who owns that kingdom? Jesus owned the kingdom. We are married to who? To Christ. We are slaves to who? As a slave, do you have a right? Then why do we think we have a right? It is my right. But right has limitations. I was watching a video last night. The police officer pulled this lady over and she wouldn't roll her windows down. She said, why did you pull me over? The officer told her, you were speeding, ma'am. She said, I want to see the video that I was speeding. The officer told her, ma'am, when you get to court, you'll see the video. He said, I want to see it. It's my right. No, right has limitations. But when you leave here this morning, there are certain things I want you to think of. That you are a slave of Jesus Christ. That you've been bought with a price, which is the blood of Christ. That you are a member of the kingdom. And God wants you to obey the rules and regulations of that kingdom. It's not hard to do. And the reason is this, is for your own good. Any comments? Corey, do you have a comment? Okay. The last paragraph said, the repentance that God demands of us is becoming his children. Acts 2 verse 38, Acts 17, 30 to 31 involves a change of mind. Have we changed our mind when it comes to doing what God wants us to do? A lot of us, I always say this. I remember the time, just a Christian in the morning. I'm not really living up to expectations God wants me, what God wants me to be. I've had situations at work where it's make you upset. But lately what I find myself doing is praying for those people who simply say things about you that are not true. And that is learning to apply the things I'm teaching in my own life. It tells us, if we are truly converted to the Lord, I mentioned that earlier on, we will put the Lord first, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15, in all things, thus it is not just a matter of submitting to the will of the Lord in becoming a Christian, but accepting it in everything. Let me repeat that again. Thus, it is not just a matter of submitting to the will of the Lord in becoming a Christian, but accepting it in everything. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 24. What does self-control have to do with becoming a Christian? That is a question. What does self-control have to do with becoming a Christian? Everything. Cite some examples of those who wanted to follow their own will instead of the will of God.
I was just reading in Genesis. You know, it's kind of like the origin story here of our struggle when Cain became angry when God wouldn't accept his sacrifice. And the Lord's words to him at that time were, why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you, but you must master it.
Isn't that just summarizes everything? Just give me 2 minutes. Here is a God who has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. But when it comes to doing things, guess what God does? When he came to creating man, he said, let us. When he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and he had a conversation with Abraham, what was the conversation? Yes, a God who has all power and all wisdom. He can do whatever he wants, but he does not operate that way. And how many times when it comes to us, it's my way or what? Have you heard of the word, it's my way or what?
The
highway. Why don't we think sometimes as God thinks? Hey, can we talk about this? Why don't we have a conversation about what is going on? Maybe you have a better idea than what I have. And I do believe if we apply these principles on a daily basis of what God's will is, I think we can be a better Christian. Thanks for your time. And we didn't finish everything, but we try to hurry up next time.